All right, we're going to start at the top of Samach Bava Aleph, the Mishnah. So this is a Mishnah we had quoted earlier when the Gemara discussed it, the issue of Hutar Mixas and Neder. If it's Hutar Mixas or Hutar Kulo or not, we saw that Machlokas earlier in the Masechta, and the Gemara quoted this Mishnah in that context. So it should be a little familiar to us. Chotchim b'yamim tovim u'b'shabbatot. One can use his pedach neder, yomim tovim, and shabbatot. For instance, a person took a neder from yayin or took a neder from basar, and then they said, well, did you realize that you're also being encompassing within the Shabbos and yom tov, and therefore you wouldn't be able to be mekayi them properly? And again, this is not a problem we saw before, a potchim b'kvod ha-makom, because we differentiated earlier between potchim b'kvod ha-makom versus potchim b'kvod mitzvah achas. When it deals one mitzvah, we say that a person's not embarrassed to tell the truth and say that he didn't really, he would have taken the neder despite that mitzvah. Right, so when it comes to kvod ha-makom, right, we said that a person is not willing to lie and therefore would not be a good pedach. So this falls into the category of mitzvot, which are okay. Bukhtim yamim tovim v'shabbatot. Rishona ayu omrim, otana yamim mutarim, mishokol ameyamim asurim. So at first they considered that when they give such a pedach, that it removed the neder from the Shabbos and Yom Tov, but the rest of the neder for the weekdays stood. Ad Shabbat Rabbi Kiva Belimed. So this is what we saw again earlier in the Masechta about Rabbi Kiva's position and taught. A neder shehutar mechlalo hutar kulo. A neder that is hutar in part is then hutar in its entirety. I mean that you can't have half a neder. Right? There's no such thing as a half a neder. You need a full neder, and once the neder is breached in any way because of a petach, therefore the whole neder falls, and not just the part that just the part that he was matir. And the Rambam points out that it's in the Yerushalmi says that's because Pasuk said "Kechol hayotzei mipi v'yaseh," right? That when he says you have to keep your word, it says "Kechol hayotzei mipi," the entire statement that you made. If you can't fulfill the entire statement, then there's no more longer a requirement of "Kechol hayotzei mipi v'yaseh," because there's no kulo anymore. There's no hole to keep anymore. All right, Ketzad, give us a case. Amar konim she'eni nene l'kuchem. Right, so he says, I will not get anah from any of you. Hutar achad mehem, huchu kulan. If one of them was, they were matir neder for one of them, then they're matir for all of them. She'eni nene l'zeh, u'lzeh. So if he was togoy each one and the other, and then he says, we had this again earlier, in the Masechta. The first case is with his father, right, was one of the people in the group, and therefore they were matir the neder because of his father, then there's hutar echad mehem hutar kulan. This is a case where it's zeh, zeh, u'zeh, meaning that he's asks the first one, and then he's totally each one afterwards, and subsequently, in a sequence, each one after the other. Very good, right. So hutar rishon, hutar kulan, if you eliminate the first one, I mean, if he's matir the neder for the first one, then everybody after him falls away, because by definition, if the first one wasn't a neder, then nothing else could be a neder. Whereas hutar achron, achron mutar v'kulan asurim, whereas if you're matir the neder for the last one, nobody else is dependent on the last one being an usur. And therefore, only he is mutar, and not the rest of them. And then the Gemara talks about the case of Emtsoi, right? If it's the guy in the middle, then everybody from him and onward is mutar, and everybody before him is still asur. Sheni nene lezer, the zekarban. I will not get an offer from the zekarban. The zekarban. He says the word the zekarban for each one of them, meaning that even though he makes a neder bichlal as a general neder, but he still in each one of them gives a lashon neder of karban. He gives a lashon of yisur with regards to each individual. Then tzrichim petal kol echad v'echad. Therefore, it's not a single neder. Each one of them becomes a individual or a freestanding neder. And since it's an independent neder, therefore the petach of one of them will not affect the other. Konim yanim she'eni toim she'ayin rola me'ayim. He says, I will not drink wine because wine is bad for the stomach. What about old wine, aged wine? That's good for the stomach. So hutar b'miyushan, he's allowed to drink aged wine for the b'miyushan b'lvad, and not just aged wine. Hutar el b'chol yain, he's mutar in every type of yain. Koneh batzal sheni toim shabatzal rala leiv, says I will not eat onions because onions are bad for the heart. Amalo aloha kofri yofel the leiv, aren't what we said, leeks or different types of onions good for the heart? Lutzibah kofri, below kofri bivat. He can eat kofri, but not only kofri, utar el b'chol b'ksalim, because the underlying premise of his nether was mistaken. Right? And therefore, if you're matir a portion of the nether, because the statement in its entirety is not true, therefore the whole nether falls away. We have such a case, and Rabbi Meir was matir a person in all types of onions. So Gemara says, Hutar Akron, Akron Mutar, Bechulon Asurin. Matana, who's the Tana of our Mishnah? I'm Rabbi Shimoni, Ta'amar, Achi Omar Shua, Bechol Echad Bech Echad. So our Mishnah is Rabbi Shimon, who says that you need an independent Shavua for each individual. So Rabbi Shimon is brought in a different context. He's in the context of Shavuas HaPikadon. Shavuas HaPikadon, a person can be Chayov, right, if he takes a Shavuas HaPikadon. Means that someone left something with him and he says, I didn't, or you never did, or he never said, no such thing ever happened, then he has to take a Shavua, right, a Shavuas HaPikadon. If he takes the Shavua, so he has a number of people who are making such a claim against him, and he takes a single Shavua against these individuals. Right now, when do we consider it to be one Shavua, and when do we consider it to be independent Shavua? So that's a machlokes in Rabbi Shimon, right, in the Gemara, in a number of places, but especially in Shavuot, that if you have five claimants that are coming to speak to him, right, and then he says, Lecha, like he says, Shavuot, that I don't have anything from you, Lecha, 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 Lecha. He just says, you, you, and you. So Rabbi Shimon believes if you just say you, you, and you, that is one Shavua. It's not five separate Shavuot. Even though each of the objects of the Shavua is independent, that's not considered a separate Shavua until you enunciate the, right, or articulate the individual people. You have to say Shavua Lecha, Shavua Lecha, Shavua Lecha. You have to, the key language of Shavua has to be said with regards to each individual. So therefore, if you take such a nether, Shavua Lecha, 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 there's only one nether. So too in our Mishnah. Who's the author of our Mishnah? The author of our Mishnah is going to be Rabbi Shimon, because what did it say in our Mishnah? When do we consider it to be a separate nether for each one, and when do we consider it to be an single nether? When he said, when was it a separate nether? When he says, Zekarban, Zekarban, Zekarban. Exactly. When you use the particular lashon of Isser by each individual. And not simply when you said, Lazeh, Lazeh, Lazeh. Right? If you had just said, which is the earlier case, Shenine, Lazeh, 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 right? Then we said, Hutar Rishon, Hutar Ha Akron. Everybody's Hutar Kulan. So therefore, this Mishnah reads like Rabbi Shimon, who says that you have to differentiate by using the specific lashon of Neder, specific lashon of Shavua, and not simply by identifying individual objects. Right? So the conclusion that gives us, there's two other, there's a number of Stam Mishnahs. Our Mishnah here is like Rabbi Shimon. There's another Stam Mishnah in Kiddushin that is like Rabbi Shimon. And then there's one Stam Mishnah that is like against Rabbi Shimon in the Gemara in Baba Mitzvah, I think, right? Is it Baba Perker Pidodan? It's against him. In Shavuos is a Mishnah, Stam Mishnah Lahim. So the Gemara says, Mali Chad Stama, Mali Trey Stama. But nevertheless, because the Amoraim are Shakli V'Tare, according to Rabbi Shimon in the Gemara Kedushin, that they basically, their whole Sugya follows the Sheet of Rabbi Shimon, and the Amoraim are trying to work out in Rabbi Shimon the Pshat. Therefore, we are Paskening like Rabbi Shimon. And that's like the way the Rach and the Ramban, we all, they pass in like Rabbi Shimon Shita here, and in order to differentiate within a nether or within a Shavua, you have to articulate the specific word Shavua or nether or korban by each individual, not simply identify the separate individuals. Alright. Next, Kodim Yonim Shani Toim, but typically it's Ein Rav. Now, the Mishnah states, he says that I'm not going to drink wine because wine is bad for my stomach. So what does the Mishnah do? The Mishnah says, well, it's not as bad, but it's good. I mean, what even if it was neutral, that should be sufficient, right, to eliminate the nether. Because he said it was bad for me. All he says is that it's neutral for me, then if they could just prove to him it's not bad, that'd be enough to drop the nether. So that's what Gemara's asking right now. What does Gemara says? The deep lay Dane Raw. Just simply tell him it's not bad for him, wine. So Gemara says, well, that's basically what the Mishnah was saying. They're saying to him, I'm Rabba, but owes you up, Tani. You're right. Number one, it's not bad for you. And number two, not only is it not bad for you, it's even good for you. So it's just a step up. I mean, that it would have been sufficient to say that it's not bad, but they were, in addition to that, telling you some, you know, giving you bonus information, that not only is wine not bad for you, it is actually good for you. Right? And the same, I'm asking the exact same question on the next piece. I don't know what the Chiddush is here. Kodim Batzel Shani Toim, Shabbatzel, Tzibik Lei, Dein Ra, Amar Rav, Obi Ofek Tani. It's the exact same piece of Gemara, that it was neutral. You could have made the neutral statement that onions are just not bad for your heart, but the Gemara went out of its way and said, not only is it not bad for you, but it's even good for you. Right, next Mishnah. Both in Adam we covered Atzmo, we covered Bonov. Right? So they're allowed to be Potech with the covered Atzmo, covered Bonav. So as opposed to Kvod Makom or Kvod Avi Be'imo, where there we said that a person will not necessarily tell the truth. Right? By Kvod Makom we said the person will lie and always say that he wouldn't have said it. And therefore, it's not a good petach, because we never know if he's telling the truth when he said he wouldn't have taken the nether. Like, Kvod Av V'Ima, we saw machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim, whether that works. Whether the person is willing to either overcome, or either be machutzuf enough to say he would do it by his parents or not. Or the other possibility is that everybody agrees that he would be machutzuf enough. It's just a question of, it's too broad. It's too broad a hetter. Because then people will be matinated for themselves, and we won't, it will end up with a problem where you're not allowed to be matinated for yourself, and people will do it. So now, here by Kvod Atzmo, Kvod Avonov, we say, number one, the person is going to be honest, that he would say, you know, whatever he meant, whether he would have said the net or not. And number two is, we say that, it's not too a general, a petach, that a person is going to use it all over the place, because the fact that he will tell the truth means that he won't use it everywhere because he won't be true in every case. So, Amrim lo, ilu ayiti yodeh shalamachar, Amrim alecha kachi, vestosha ploni. If they would say about a person like you, this is the way this person conducts himself, magareish nashav, that he gets, you know, he divorces his wives, of and otecha yu amrim, benot kushotain, that your daughters are the daughters of divorcees. You know, if this woman didn't see something awful in this, you know, individual, she would never have wanted to divorce him. That's such a case. That is mutar. I mean, if he feels that had he thought about these consequences at the time, he would not have taken the nether. That is sufficient to say that he is mutar the nether. That's ataras nether. Konim she'eni nose et plonit ki'ura. I will not marry this woman. So this mission was quoted in our Gemara, right, previously. We spoke about this with regards to the other Gemara, where it said, he said, I will not marry her because of her father, her evil father, right, or I will not go into this house because of the bad dog or the dangerous snake. And the Gemara, we discussed why is these cases over here, how are they different than the cases in our Mishnah? So we had two explanations, right, based on Abayin Rav. One was the possibility that it was totally benidro, right, that he was making an implicit tenai in his neder. And says, I'm sorry, between Rav Huna and Rav Yochanan, I'm sorry, that was the machlokas. Rav Huna says it was totally benidro, that he put implicit tenai in his neder, and therefore when the tenai falls, the neder falls. Whereas in our mission over here, it is a nidre tos. There's an underlying flaw in his assumption. What's the difference between the two Mishnayos? Because we discussed that their Mishnah over here says, for instance, Sheni said, Planishya Aviha Ra. The Shin afterwards says what he says, he makes a statement, I'm not going to marry her, and then he gives a reason for it, She Aviha Ra. But over here, he makes a statement about the object, meaning that he doesn't say this is the reason why, but he says, I will not marry this ugly duckling. Right? When he says, I will not marry this ugly duckling, he's not making a condition in his nether. He's describing what the nether is about an ugly duckling. Since it's about an ugly duckling, if she turns out not to be an ugly duckling, then, right, then it's okay. It'll be fine. It's a nidre toast. So the difference between our Mishnah here and the Mishnah previously has to do with that. Exactly. Talib nidro versus nidre toast. Okay, so now the Gemara says, that was the Machlokas Rishonim. We saw that yesterday. Very good. The Machlokas Rishonim between the Rosh and the Ran, whether in the case of Tali Benidro, it's Hutter Miatmo. Right? The Rosh believed that you still needed Hataras Chachamim, even when he was Tali Benidro. And the Ran said no, that even in that case, you don't need Shel. It's Mishum of Shari Afilu B'Shel Lo Shel Es Chacham. Even without Hataras Chacham.
But the
Toes, everybody would
never even.
Right, because if the Nether was never Chal. Exactly. All right, so here, what are the Nidre Tos? Konim Sheni No said, Plonit Ki'ura, I will not marry this ugly woman. All right, Harihina, turns out she was beautiful. Shkora, she was dark complexion, black. Harihilavana, turns out she was pale, or a lighter complexion. Ketzara, she was short. Harihiruka, turns out she's tall. Mutarba, lo mipnei shehi ki'ura v'naseit na'et. It's not because she was ugly and became pretty. Shchora v'naseit levana, where she was black and turned white. Tzara v'naseit ruch, she was short and was tall. Ella, she'a nether toast. Right? That is the exact point, that the nether is a toast. Because he defined the object Right? The adjective that he used for the object defined the object, and when that is not true about the object, there is no nether. He did not say a nether and say this is the condition of the nether, and that would be like the previous mission. But here he says the nether is about an object, and that object turns out not to be what he's talking about.
Is that implying that if the object did change, then the nether would not be mutar?
Next case in the Mishnah. Excellent. All right. So what's the next case in the Mishnah? Exactly the case like this, which the Gemara is going to ask him about, because it seems like the Mishnah flows next in the case, and it seems to be this is the support. Right? So now it says, Maise umase ve'echot nader mibat achuto, right? Haniyah. So he has ve'echnisil the Beit Rabbi Shmuel. So he took a neder from his sister's daughter. It's his niece to his sister, which we might discuss this in a number of places, that it's a mitzvah to marry one's niece, right? The daughter of his sister. So they he took the nether, seems to be he took the nether because she was not exactly his taste, or she was not beautiful. Right, and therefore he rejected her. So they took her over to the house of Rabbi Shmuel by Yafua, and they prettied her up, meaning that they dressed her up. They looked beautiful. Amarlo Rabbi Shmuel b'ni Mizuna Darta. He called in the uncle and said, "Is this who you were mentioning that you didn't really think she was so pretty?" And he says, "Amarlo, no, this wasn't the girl I was talking about." Right, Vehetira Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel was matir the neder. Rabbi Shmuel cried, "Vahomar, the notes of Shmuel nolatein. The Shmuel are beautiful. Elashaniyot min avalatan. That their poverty is what makes them right. That their inability to look beautiful is because of the poverty or because of the situation in which they find themselves. But they are beautiful. Shmeis Rabbi Shmuel, you benot to Shmuel nosut kina. Right. So when the Rabbi Shmuel passed away, the daughters of Israel, I mean the women, were upset. They're nosikim war benot Yisrael al Rabbi Shmuel bekina." The women come out and call it a cry, make a cry of sorrow for Rabbi Shmuel. Chinumer b'Shaul, by Shaul, the same thing was mentioned in the Navi, right? B'Noz Yisrael, El Shaul b'China, or El Shaul, El Shaul b'China. What b'China? All right, so that B'Noz Yisrael should call out on Shaul b'China again, calling to the women to mourn the loss of a particular individual because of his stature or his appearance in the eyes of the women, or because of what he did for the women. Meaning that Rabbi Shmuel here was helping out the B'nai Yisrael and cared for them to make sure that they were beautiful. All right, Ma'ase Listor. So this is what Zvi was asking. Right? Wait, Ma'ase Listor? You give a case which says what only in a case where the object hasn't changed, right? That's when the nether is a nidrei tos. Then you give a case of Rabbi Shmuel where she was ugly, right? And then he pretties her up, he gets her to be beautiful, and then he said that there's mutar. So that's exactly the opposite of what you said is the case of nidrei tos. So my says, Chasurei Maksura, Vahachitani, he's missing words. And this is what he meant. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Afilu Ke'ura V'Nasid Na. Right, even if she was ugly and became pretty, Shchora V'Nasid Levana. She was black and turned white. However that happened, Chasurei V'Nasid Teruka, short, she became tall. Right, Maisa Be'echosh Nadim Yifat Achoto, V'Chnisa Rabbi Beit Yishmo, B'Yafua. So again, brings the case of our Mishnah. So you see, Rabbi Shmuel actually disagrees with the principle. Right, the principle that is stated there. So what is Rabbi Shmuel's position? Must be that Rabbi Shmuel's position is that no lud works, right? Because that's exactly what Rabbi Shmuel has. We have a case of no lud. Situation changed, right? And therefore it must be that he holds no lud works. If you look in the last line in the Ran, in Samach Vav Amud Aleph, it says, "Afilu Kiura V'Nasina D'Svir Leita Potchin B'Nolad." Things feel that we can be poteach minolad, that even if things change afterwards, va'avod nami upta, and he took action based on that belief. We do not hold like him. Right.
So you see from his declaration, see from what Rabbi Shmuel said, so they're beautiful, just the circumstances make them look not beautiful.
Right. Wasn't
so you see like Rabbi Shmuel said sort of thing that she didn't change. That's really what she was all along.
Right.
I think in Tzuva said the same thing with the with the Dam Sulim, right, where I'm real and all the cases over there, and I think he says similar things that, you know, no. it's just because she was poor, and that's why you didn't see the damsel, because you're in such a dachos state.
Dachos state of oni. Right, so that's it. So if you look in the Rush, Shaul doesn't like it. The Rush thinks similar to you. If you look at the last line in the Rush, the Tira Rabbi Shmuel, Kasava, came in Shechon and Liakota, Loita Kuram Ikara. Exactly, which is what you, I think you and Shaul are suggesting here, that the fact that he could pretty her up proves that she really was not ugly. Right, that's the, that proves that she wasn't ugly. The fact that she is, that he could change her, is that finds out that the underlying belief that she was Ki'ura was not true.
He just needed to unlock the hidden beauty within.
Exactly. The only problem is that the Gemara does not read so simply according to that. Because then the Maisa is not Listar anymore. The Maisa is supportive of the, right, of the case, actually.
And you wouldn't need the Chesu Mechzu.
Right. And so, Afilu Ki'ura V'Nashi Na'at.
This would disprove the billions of dollars that are made every year on cosmetics. And no, but I... Isn't that one of the main goals? That it's these artificial things that that take a normal woman,
right,
and make her beautiful, make her appear beautiful. Doesn't necessarily mean that underlying she was always beautiful.
Right. Well, the Rabbi Shmuel here says that right, that she was, that it was. The other way, right. Shmuel argues for the cosmetic, in favor of the cosmetic, right,
surgery,
that, that she really is beautiful. It's just that there's, you know, the life's travails have made her, right, worn her down, and so we can restore her to her natural state.
He just cleans the dirt off.
Right, exactly.
Restore to just come up on ourselves and wash her face.
All right, so I would say that the Ran reads easier in the Gemara, because then you might see Listar, according to the Rush, seems that Rabbi Shmuel really does support. He just expands the view of what is included in that. I don't know what's the Gemara to ask you, might say Listar, if that's really Rabbi Shmuel's belief, but I think you could read into the Gemara. I think it's possible to read the Rush into the Gemara. I don't think it's as easy as reading the Ran into the Gemara. All right, so now what did he do for her? Now you'll be amazed. What did he do for her? Tana, Shane Totevet Haitala. She had a fake tooth. She had lost a tooth, and she had a fake tooth. Vasala Rabbi Shmuel, Shane Shalzahab. Mishalo. He paid for her to have a gold tooth. That made all the difference, right? Instead of having the fake tooth, she had the gold tooth. Right? In our generation, I don't think that is as much, but there was a previous generation when that was considered to be a pilot having a gold tooth.
It all
depends on the neighborhood.
Or what the alternative is, right?
Since the wooden teeth get, right, like all, you know, right, rotted and black and stuff.
It's, you know, what's the alternative? So here, the gold tooth was considered to be a violet for the one. Yishapi Rabbi Shmuel Patachala Havusabdana, right? So one of the paid and eulogizers spoke of Hachay Benot Yisrael of Rabbi Shmuel Bechina Hamabishchem, that you should cry over Rabbi Shmuel, who dresses you, who takes care of you. How Damarlog Bitu Konim Shi'i at Nanili Ad Shitadim Imi Tapsalech the Rabbi Yehuda or the Rabbi Shimon says, you are Usr Hanot to me until you feed your food, your whatever you cook over here, to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Now I'm not sure. What?
You read the Kishachim Rabbi Shimon?
Yeah, yeah, that the eulogizer there went out and said that about Bnei Yisrael, you should call out Tzvikina because the one who dresses you has passed away. Right, you, until you feed whatever you cooked up for dinner, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, then, and I'm not sure if he was upset about what she had cooked necessarily, but he says that that's the condition for her basically coming back. So now, Rabbi Yehuda time. Rabbi Yehuda tasted Amar Kava Chomer. Malasot Shalom Ben Ish Lishto Amra Torah Shemish Nechta B'Kedusha, right? Yimache Alamayim Hame Arari B'Safek, right? So if it came to, what is he referring to? Sota. At the case of Sota, when we're trying to bring Shalom Bias, and there it's only a Safek, whether there's an issue, or maybe even whether there will be a solution, nevertheless, we erase the name of Hashem. Certainly I can taste her little dish and make sure that, you know, there's Shalom Bias, that he'll take her back. Why shouldn't I do it? So ani achas kam v'kama. Rabbi Shimon lo toim. This is classic Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon by Yochai. Although Rabbi Shimon Yochai, you know that when he came back out, there's a story of Rabbi Shimon by Yochai by the cave. He and his son, right, ended up in the cave. And then they came out of the cave. When they first came out of the cave, they were walking around and they were upset about how everybody was, they said, how could it be that everybody's working the land, right? And there's Torah to learn and Hashem to worship. How could they be working the land? Everywhere they look, they destroy. he and his son, everything was burnt up to a crisp everywhere they looked. Hashem says, I didn't bring you out for this, sent them right back into the cave. So you see that Rabbi Shmuel was a chareid of the Dvar Hashem. Later on they came out again, and then Rabbi Elazar, when they came back out, his son, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, everywhere he looked, he still destroyed it. He was unable to overcome it. The young ones were still chareid of the Dvar Hashem, but Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai had aged a little bit, and everywhere he looked, he was metaking that which his son destroyed. So he said to his son, you and I can make sure that the whole world survives. You'll destroy it, I'll fix it, everything will be good. But then they bump into somebody, right? That was the end of that story. There's somebody running on Erev Shabbos. It's Erev Shabbos, and he's running, and he has two hadassim in his hand. And they ask him, where are you running? He says, it's Erev Shabbos, I'm running. They said, why do you have two hadassim? They said, echad keneged zachar, ve'echad keneged shamar. Right? One keneged zachar and shamar, that's where we get, probably where we get our candle lighting to, the candles on Friday night, echad keneged zachar, echad keneged shamar. But there, then they were in pious path, they could see, they understood, but we should have finally understood that you could be, take Olam HaZeh and be Malah. Here's somebody who was working and was able to be take something from Olam HaZeh and be Malah to Olam HaBa. But you do see this in the personality of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, right? This idea that he was a little more chareid al Dvar Hashem. And you're going to see this now. Rabbi Shimon Lo Toi, he wasn't willing to taste the dish. Amar Yimutu Kol Bnei Amana, says they should all die and all his children should be sons of a widow. Rabbi Shimon Bim Kumo, and I won't move from my position. But and I think they leave out the Machlis at the word Ode, which makes more sense. Kiyehi the Lo Lizragle Mindar. He says, if I do this, then I'm only upholding the problem, meaning that I become a facilitator. By allowing this neder to continue, that I'm facilitating this person from making the darim, because I'm allowing it to continue. By refusing, then I'm pushing back on these people who take willy-nilly, take nedarim, and they're going to have to live with their nedarim. And then when they have to live the consequences, they will no longer, right, take nedarim like that. And this is in modern day therapy for addictions, this is the exact issue. Many people try to help out and they're considered facilitators, and it turns out that in most cases when people are addicted, they cannot be repaired, or they cannot be reached therapeutic state where they can be brought into remission and cured from their addictions until they hit what's called rock bottom, until they're left to the consequences of their actions. And so Rabbi Shimon over here is making that argument that people will not stop taking nidarim until they have to live the consequences of their nidarim. Okay, Haladamar Leditu. So an interesting story. Someone said to his wife, Konim Shiat Nenili Achitaroki Bob Rabbi Shimon Ben Gamliel. You're also to me until you spit on Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. She went ahead and she listened to her husband. She was compliant. She spit onto the clothing of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Amalei Rav Acha Midibti LeRavina. Funny. This guy really wanted to be, you know, a real spit, not just a spit on his clothing. She wanted to, you know, be where it would be Mizalzel and Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Right? And if that's the case, she would have to spit on his body and not just on his clothing. So that's Amalei Mirak. Be sure that spitting on Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's clothing is enough of a zilusa. He's a big person, a person of stature, and therefore he didn't need to spit on his body, but even on his clothing was sufficient to be a zilusa and be matir the nether, meaning that allow her to return to her husband. So you are usher to me until you can show anything beautiful in you to Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yossi. Basically, you are a bad apple from top to bottom.
Love it,
right? Right, exactly. And until Rabbi Shmuel comes up with something good, you are usher to me. So then she goes to, of course, Amalem Shema Roshana. So they go to Rabbi Shmuel and says, maybe she has a beautiful head, a beautiful face. Amlo Skalgal. No, it's not a beautiful face. It's actually a Skalgal, which is that it looks like a round. It's very circular. Rashi says it's Domelan Itse Pishtan Shrosham Skalgalim Agulim. They're round, circular. Face is very circular. I don't know what that means. Flat, wide, whatever it means, that it wasn't beautiful. Alright, so on to the next thing. Sam Sarana, maybe her hair is beautiful. Domelanitsa Pishtan. They were like straw. Or like flax. Pieces of flax. I mean, it's hard and not pretty at all. Choppy and hard.
She needs conditioner.
That's right. Shema Inan Oats, maybe she has beautiful eyes. She says, Tutotain. They are, Rashi says, Rakot, they're soft. The others say, Tutot, mean Agulot. They're big, they're circular. They're not shaped in the shape of an eye, you know, which are more elongated, but circular and round, where they're not pretty. Shemos, Na'ot, maybe her ears are beautiful. Tutotain. So, I mean, they're double, but it doesn't mean double over here.
This, she's got all the answers in here.
Right, I don't know if it's students, yeah. I don't know if her students or her husband's giving all the answers. I'm not sure. It's not clear who went to Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi in the end, right? The Gemara never says who, it just knows, it says that Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi got involved, but it doesn't say who was asking him. Right, Shemos now oats, maybe her ears are beautiful. So it says, Pulotain, they're double, meaning that they're huge. She has big ears, right? Shema Chutmana, maybe she has a beautiful nose. So Bolomho, it's stuffed. All right, Shema Siftotana, maybe she has nice lips. Abotain, they're thick. They're big, wide, thick, whatever that means. Shema Tzavarana, maybe she has a long neck, a beautiful neck. Shakutu, she has a short neck, a stumpy neck, I don't know. Shema Kresana, maybe she has a beautiful stomach. Tzavahu, she's got a, I don't know, it's blown up. It's a big stomach. She's got a pot belly. I'm trying to describe here.
All this stuff wasn't set in front of her.
What?
Was all this stuff?
I assume it wasn't set in front of her, but it's not, because it seems to be the third party talking about it. It says, how does she look? She looks like this. So it's not, it doesn't seem to be like she's involved here. Shemar Aglea Naot, maybe she has beautiful legs. Rochavot, Kishel Ibza, they're thick as a goose. I don't know, whatever. They're wide as a goose. They're thick legs, big legs. All right, Shema Shmana, says maybe she has a beautiful name. So he says, Lachlchit Shema. Her name is ugly or dirty or, you know, not nice. That's what her name is. So he goes, so there I found it. He says, Amar Lahan, Yafek Horinota Lachlchit. She has a good name. Shehi Muklechet B'mumim. Right, then she's full of these Mumim Visharya. And he was matir the nether. He let him go back. In that case, he said, we found something beautiful about her. Her name is appropriate for who she is.
Kishmakini.
Right, exactly. All right.
How sounds like the husband must have been so excited to get her back.
He's saying how you
That's true.
All right. So how? All right. So now the next case. How Barbavel, the Salt Arad Israel, is a foreigner. Right, came into Eretz Israel. Nasi Vitata, he married a woman. So then he married. Now this woman is a fantastic woman. She tries to please her husband in every way possible. So Amalei Bishilili Trei Talfit. Right, so cook me up, right, two talfit. So two talfit either means, right, two legs of an animal. I mean, that's one possibility. Cook me up, you know, two hind legs or two bulkies and whatever he was after, he was looking for, right? Or the other possibility is that tafluchi, mean cook me up, means a little bit of lentil soup or some lentil dish. Cook me it up. So she took it literally. In Eretz Yisrael, when I said talfit, right, she said trei talfit, right? She cooked them up literally, two lentils. Right, she was very compliant. She wanted to make sure that she did exactly what her husband asked her. So she cooked up two lentils. He got upset at her. Griva. Cook me up a griva. Right, so the question is, what is he intending and what does she end up cooking him? So, Bashilele Griva. So now what is this griva? Right, so he says, it's a big amount, right? So he says to her, she cooked up, he said a little bit of lentils, or he said to Poke, she cooked up two lentils, literally. So he says, you know what, cook me up a griva, which is some enormous amount of lentils. So he thought she always downsized. Whatever he said, she would just, on a ratio basis, so he figures, if I give her this big number, she'll come out with the right number. Then she goes ahead and she cooks him up, literally, a griva, right, a full measurement, like whatever he had said. So now he's really at Amar La. See, I did lead trade Bozzini. Go ahead, bring me to Bozzini. So what are Bozzini? So again, the main issue seems to be here is the difference between Hebrew and Aramaic. Right, they're using terms for the language of Babel versus Eretz Yisrael. So he's a Babylonian, he's speaking, when he makes a term, he's looking at the term in the Aramaic form, and she's looking in the Hebrew form, that's where the confusion's coming out. So he says, bring me trei Bozzini, which means bring me two, either candles or two menorot, right? And she ends up bringing him, what? Two abtichim, two watermelons. Right, or the other way around. The other way around. The sheep. And he asked for two watermelons, and she ends up bringing him two minorot. Right, so he says, Amalo Zili Aitili Chapotini, bring me two watermelons, I'll let Aitili Trey Shragin. Okay, yeah, I'll read it. Alright, therefore, he brought her two lamps or two menorot. So Amalo Zili Tavri Yatona Rashid the Bubba. He was so upset, he says, go smash them on the lintel, basically. Go smash them on the lintel of the door, the Bubba, right? Rasha the Bubba. Abiyata Bubba Ben Buta, a Bubba, right? So Bubba Ben Buta happened to be sitting by the door. But called Dain Dina, and he was being banned in by the door. So Azla Vitavri Yatona Rashid. She broke them on the head of Bubba Ben Buta, because when he said Reshid the Bubba, he meant Bubba meaning door, and she thought Bubba meant Bubba Ben Buta. So she goes and smashed them on the head of Bubba Ben Buta. So they said, Amalah, Mahadei, Tavat. You know, I mean, he was a polite guy. He says, what exactly is going on here? So
Amalah,
do I know you? He said, this is what my husband told me to do. Amar, at the seat with some balech, you did whatever your husband wanted. Because you listened to your husband, you should have two sons that are like Bava Ben Buta. Because this woman was doing what her husband's request. So Bava Ben Buta felt that he couldn't be angry at her because she was just complying to what her husband had asked, and that she was really doing, being good. She was trying as hard as she could to please her husband, and was failing because of the language barrier between them. All right, we'll stop here at the end of the parak. Tomorrow we'll start with the new parak.